Hello and welcome, friends. Whether you are online with us in this moment or listening in on the Beloved podcast or on location at your micro church campus in this moment, we are so glad that you are here with us. So welcome. We have been on this learning journey just for a couple Sundays already to discover a life of freedom. And over the next few shared moments, I'd like to point your thoughts and reflections to look at some truths about the tree of knowledge of good and evil and unpack how this view affects our lives. So jumping back into the book of beginnings and picking up in the story in Genesis, Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17 says this, "But the Lord God warned him, 'You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die.'" Friends, humanity has a choice every day to choose between the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Are there choices that you are currently making, even myself sometimes, even some from the past, that have caused you to want to hide yourself from God? Hiding from my internet history, hiding my receipts from a spouse or friend, hiding my bank statements from God like he doesn't see it, hiding that phone chat log, hiding my attitude behind a front of false humility, hiding fear responses. We hid, is what Adam and Eve said. We hid for we were afraid, God, said Adam and Eve. So like God can't see the real you though, right? When we're hiding, hey, I get it. We all do these things in our lives. Friends, sometimes our desire for wisdom trumps our ability to trust God. I've often said this before. If you want to examine where your trust lies, check your bank statements, check your calendar. You might notice what your patterns and rhythms are. How is your ability to trust God? Is your freedom being affected by your ability to trust God? Are you walking in that freedom? Another note, trust is not a permission slip to do something stupid either. Quitting on responsibility to pay back your debt or failing to be present in a relationship, not showing up for work, I'm trusting Jesus. No, that's probably foolishness, not trust. Choosing to eat from the tree of life to trust God might look like recreating margins of time in our lives to serve, margins of space in our finance to be able to give back in the same resources that God has given us, margins in our talent that doesn't require something in return when we give it away. We give, we serve, and we love. We're creating margins for the ability to do so. That's walking in freedom and walking in trust like sometimes we struggle to do. I can't be generous with what God has given me to steward without trust. Here are some other ways we eat from the wrong tree. So let's unpack a little bit of this today. We sometimes use our knowledge of God as a basis of our relationship with him. So we know about God, and that's the basis of our relationship with him. Other times we get caught up in religion and old law, old practices, contract versus living in the freedom and grace that results from a relationship with God. And some days we feel overcome by shame. The way to overcome shame is to start with seeing ourselves, though, the way God sees us. Aligning our perspective, our frame of view with God's and letting him move on our hearts and on our minds. Prior to Genesis 3, Adam and Eve walked with God and enjoyed his presence. Some pretty amazing benefits of this relationship. God made these two humans in his image and he gave Adam dominion over everything that he had created. God gave him authority through the relationship that he established with him. And yet, this story is the first place in the Bible where separation from God is mentioned in Genesis chapter 3. These first people God created made a poor choice that resulted in separation within this beautifully designed relationship. Paul mentions this again in the book of Romans, in Romans 5 and 12. He said, Paul writes this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." We're talking about Adam and Eve here. Paul's referring to them. "And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned." Without their relationship, Adam would not have had authority. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they forfeited this God-given authority. through deception and rebellion, the serpent, that old devil, Satan, robbed them of the authority and dominion that God had given to man and had designed them to walk in. And he hasn't changed. This devil has not changed. He's still trying to deceive you and rob you of the authority and the dominion that God has given humanity to walk in the Spirit. All authority in Christ Jesus is now invested in you and I through, and I'm getting ahead of myself, through the Holy Spirit, but it's beautiful. The scripture tells us that Satan's desire was to exalt his throne above the stars of God. That's in Isaiah 14 and 13. Satan's desire is to rob you and I of living in the authority intended for mankind, for humankind. Friends, where are you lacking spiritual authority in your life? In your finances, in your sexuality, in your attitude, in your thoughts, your persistent negative thoughts, in your cravings? Is there any chance that you are eating from the wrong tree in this area of your life? Until the fall of man, Satan lacked the power and influence to set up rulership in the earth. Jesus called Satan the ruler or prince of this world in John 12 and 31. But humans give him authority when we choose to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, just like Adam and Eve. We give Satan influence in our lives. We give him authority in our lives. When I lack in trusting Jesus for all of my life, in all of the choices that I make, I give my authority away when I choose to eat from the wrong tree. But when I choose to eat from the tree of life, I walk in the authority that God has designed me to walk in. Friends, the tree of life is where you want to be eating and where you want to be nourished from today. 1 John 5 and 19, just a couple scriptures to point out from the Bible that we want to read today. It says this in 1 John 5, 19, and we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. One more, Colossians 1, 21 tells us that we were once far away from God. You were his enemies because of sin, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Sin separates, and this separation cost us our freedom and authority, friends, over Satan. This authority and freedom that God gives to his children. Luke 10 and 19 says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. And some of you need to read that and declare that over your morning. Behold, I've given you all authority to tread the serpents. Oh, and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy who wants to destroy you and I, friends. There is a way to end this separation. He makes a way for us. It's through Jesus that God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Friends, that's Colossians 1:20 thing. God reconciling everything to himself through Christ and the cross. You should know that the starting point to a relationship with God and walking freely in relationship with him is by firstly accepting that I have sinned, that we have sinned, and that Jesus paid the penalty in full for your sin by shedding his blood and dying on a cross. And friends, it didn't stop there. He rose again. And this same power that rose Christ from the dead rises you to resurrects you from the dead to life everlasting. John 14 and 6 says, Jesus said, I am the way. This is Jesus, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to get to the Father. You want to know God. You want to see God. You must go through Jesus. John 14, 6. That's why I beloved Jesus centricity. It's Jesus we center our lives around. It's Jesus we center our marriages around. It's Jesus that we center our businesses around, our church around. All of our rhythms and patterns are centered around Jesus. Jesus is not just an afterthought for Sunday morning, friends. Paul reminds us in Romans, the way to freedom. Romans 10 and 13, for everyone who calls on the name of Jesus, the Lord, will be saved. Whatever you're going through, friend, today, call on the name of Jesus. You will be saved. You shall. And if you never have taken that first step towards a relationship with Jesus, today is your day, my friend. and we'll have an opportunity to walk through that choice together. We would love to do that with you. Okay, let's jump back into the story. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Verse 16 says this in Genesis 2, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat this fruit, you are surely to die." Over to Genesis 3, 4 and 6 says this, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" We read this last week as well. "For God knows that when you eat of this tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And they heard the sound of the Lord God. Verse 8. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Adam and Eve ate of this fruit, were tempted. "I want to be like God. I want to know. I want his wisdom. I want to be like him." And so often we're in the same posture, same position, friends, and there's some good things about this. But when they acted on that sin and they took from that tree, they hid in the garden knowing their eyes were open and they saw their nakedness and they were filled with shame. Can you imagine what might have been going through their minds at that moment? I can't imagine. Genesis 3:9 says, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" God came looking for them. I'm so thankful, friends, that God is still in the soul seeking and rescue business. I know he has come looking for me sometimes. I know he's looking for you and he has come looking for you as well. I'm so thankful that he is the rescuer, my leader, my forgiver, looking to rescue you and others from the delighted deception and lies of Satan, who wants to lie, kill, destroy, rob you, deceive you. Are there things that we still do that cause us to want to hide from God sometimes? God wants to be in relationship with you, friends, and he is seeking to bring transformation in your life and will our willpower. What do we do? Oh man, let's respond. James 4, let's see what kind of response we can have. James 4 verses 7 and 8 says, "Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil." This temptation, it's a test of your relationship, not a test of your self-control. "But resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God." Friends, this is our roadmap. This is the GPS right here. "And he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil." Submit your minds and will to God, friends. This is an act of trust. Resist the temptation, the tempter. Install some bumper stops in your mind and in your will. Resist. Sometimes you got to put some bumper stops in there to help yourself. Adam and Eve sinned by choosing to distrust God and ate of the fruit of the tree that was forbidden to them to eat. This fruit was not just any fruit. It was knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't an apple. They mistakenly thought that this fruit would make them like God. So let's learn some truths about this fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so that we too can be helped in resisting the same deception the devil wants to use. We can resist and prevent from walking in the same mistake. So number one, the fruit is knowledge, not an apple, like I said. Knowledge, information, data, ideas, worldviews, thought patterns, the knowledge of good and evil. Sounds good, right? God was simply saying to Adam and Eve, if you change your way of thinking, it will create separation between us. If you change your worldview, friends, you won't be able to understand me. You won't be able to relate to me. Satan says it this way. It won't hurt you to think like that. God said to Israel through Hosea the prophet, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Hosea 4:6. So let's unpack this. The issue isn't necessarily knowledge or wisdom. Rather, it's the motive behind its acquisition. In other words, why do we desire knowledge? Is it to gain God's wisdom and understanding, or is it to somehow exalt ourselves, proud of the fact that I'm in control of my own life and I can do this on my own? I don't need you, God. I got this. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, "We know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up." What treasures do we find in Jesus? Paul, in his letter to the church in Colossae, he writes this in Colossians 2 and verse 2 and 3. He says this, "that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is, here's your wisdom, friends, just write this down, wisdom, which is Christ, the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. From the very beginning, human beings have had the desire to be wise. The desire to be wise is not evil in of itself. God was pleased with Solomon, actually, when he asked God for wisdom. In 1 Kings 3 and 10, God appeared to Solomon in a dream one night, saying, "What do you want? Ask and I will give it to you." And Solomon asked for one thing: wisdom to govern the nation of Israel and the ability to discern good from evil. Similar kind of context, right, as what we read in Genesis. Yet in Christ, we find everything we need, in whom all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge, and we get to walk in a relationship of trust with him. We do, if we believe. So how does wisdom from God vary from the wisdom of the world then? How do you tell the difference between the two? Well, by observing the characteristics of each. Wisdom from God is pure, peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others, is full of mercy and good deeds, showing no partiality and always sincere. This is godly wisdom. Wisdom from the world is this: it's jealous, it's climbing the rung, it's self-indulgent, earthly or carnally minded, unspiritual, often motivated by evil. And when do we need wisdom? Well, all the time, of course. We're constantly making decisions, and even the smallest ones can be made with wisdom from God. Walking in godly wisdom allows us to emulate God, and this wisdom is birthed through relationship in him with Jesus. His wisdom continues to draw us closer to himself. Worldly wisdom leads us to sin and separation, which alienates us from God. James 1:5 says, "If you need wisdom, like Solomon, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking." Okay, the second one that we want to dissect, fruit. The fruit is deadly. Genesis 2, verses 16 to 17, we read this earlier. The Lord God warned him, "You may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." Eating from the tree of knowledge, consuming knowledge with this insatiable appetite in some sense, in your own pursuit of godliness is deadly, friends, deadly. Satan didn't tempt Eve with blatant rebellion. He said, "Go ahead and eat its fruit. It will make you like God." Satan tempted Eve with her desire to become like God. It's important to note that often the desire to know is in direct opposition to the desire to trust. Where in your lives are you seeking to know rather than to trust in your relationship with God, even in your relationship with one another? We would rather gain knowledge to try to control our own lives, our own circumstances, sometimes others even, than to desire to trust God to take care of us in my career, in my sexuality, in my spending patterns. Trusting in God. Genesis 3:22 and 24 says this: "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand with his knowledge, his open eyes, and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever.'" Verse 23, "Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Adam and Eve didn't die physically when they ate from the tree immediately of the tree of knowledge. But at the moment of distrust, taking matters into one's own hands, they died spiritually upon consuming this deadly fruit. Through Adam's disobedience, death entered the entire human race, and we are all born spiritually dead and in need of resurrection life. The good news is that through Jesus, we have access to the tree of life. If and when we pursue life himself in our desire for godliness, we will become truly like him through the power of the Holy Spirit, this regeneration in us, the very mind and character of the Christ, of Christ working in us. All right, the number three, the fruit is consumable. Genesis 3 and 6, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. She took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. Eating is not just putting it into your mouth and eating food. It literally means to consume or to ingest. We consume and ingest ideas in our minds, and therein sin is conceived when you are eating out of the wrong tree. How did the first sin come about? Eve talked to Adam about it through a conversation. They consumed the idea and they began to process it, then acted upon it. This progression tells us that the fruit of sin does not begin with the act. It begins in our minds. We need to be very careful about the things we ingest, the things that we consume. This culture that we're in is filled with consumerism. Even in our churches, we're filled with spiritual consumerism even sometimes. But we need to be careful about the things that we ingest into our minds, because they have long-lasting effects on our lives. What are you watching? Who are you listening to? Certain movies or television shows or pictures might expose you to images or thought patterns or processes that produce poor fruit in you, friends. Use caution as you read and study. The ideologies and theologies and philosophies that you ingest has the potential to pollute your mind and lead you to ruin and despair. We don't want that. What are you exposing yourself to? Use caution with what you let yourself be exposed to. Just as a parent takes extra care to guide and nurture and watch what their children are exposed to, so do we. Jesus, he put it this way in Matthew 18, 8 to 9. He says, and friends, you ready for this? This is a challenging thought for you, okay? If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. Crazy. How can we understand this? Some people only keep from sin if it is easy or convenient to do. Jesus warns us that we must be willing to sacrifice in fighting against sin. Plucking your eye out in this context is not literal instruction, though. This is radical work of transformation. It's beyond bodily mutilation, friends. It's a transformation of the heart. And it's completed in us by the Holy Spirit when we're willing and when we believe and when we trust in God. Then we can truly walk in that freedom. We will choose. I want to choose to eat of the tree of life every moment that I'm awake. Or will we go about this life on our own, denying the power and authority of Christ given to us in us by consuming deadly fruit from the wrong tree? No, I want to walk in the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit given to me through Christ. Number four, the fourth. Fruit causes separation. The characteristics of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The fruit causes separation. Genesis 3 and 8, the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Remember that it was man who hid from God. Many have been taught that Adam and Eve sinned and that God in his holiness and righteousness, anger, turned his back on Adam and Eve because his holiness could not stand to be in the presence of sinful man. We've heard things like this. But that's not what the Bible says, friends. The Bible says Adam and Eve sinned, their eyes were open, they covered up, and then they hid from God because they were ashamed and afraid of his reaction. Adam and Eve misjudged how God would respond to their sin. He wasn't watching from behind a tree, waiting for them to fail so he could judge them. God searched for them as he walked through the garden, calling out, "Where are you, my friends? Where are you?" Because he loved them. Friends, God is not watching and waiting in anticipation for you to fall short, for you to make a mistake. God is love. 1 John 4:8 tells us that. And the scripture says that love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8, And Romans 8 and 38, friends, I pray that you're listening in this moment. Romans 8 and 38 to 39 says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friends, you are so loved. And when we walk in this love, we walk in the authority. The greatest authority is love. When we see his heart for us through Jesus Christ, we will run to him instead of hiding from him when we sin and make mistakes. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil produces shame and victimization. So let's unpack that for a moment. Victimization and shame, man, those are not very fun things to walk through. Genesis 3, 10 to 13, Adam is saying, Adam replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, Lord, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Can you see the pointing? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil robs us of innocence. Shame causes us to separate ourselves from God, making it so that we cannot operate in the freedom that Christ has for us to live in. Shame is a veil that comes between God and us. It covers us completely, even our eyes, so that we can see only dimly who and where God is. Shame causes us to do all sorts of things that keep us from connecting with God in our prayer life, in our scripture life, in our reflective moments, in our contemplative moments. Shame makes us want to hide. Prior to eating this forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve were both naked and were not ashamed. Genesis 2:25. Afterwards, they came up with this idea of sewing fig leaves together to cover themselves and then literally tried to hide from God's presence in the trees of the garden. Here are some results of shame that I want you just to think about for a few seconds here, for a few moments. Results of shame. Number one is covering up with religion and becoming focused on works. This is a result of shame. Lying, deception, and false pride are results of shame. Making promises that we cannot keep is a result of shame. Getting our self-worth from the things that we do. The inability to come to a place of honesty with God because of our unbelief. We have no true value. These are products of shame. Concentrating on our sin instead of concentrating on our Savior. Results of shame. Shame is ugly. Ugh. Why is shame so deadly? Because it strips us of the power to change. It keeps us from receiving the provision God made for our sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is about what we have done, but shame is about who we are. With guilt, we can always get a fresh start. With shame, we are often caught in a deadly noose because the problem stays with us. It's us. We are the problem when shame is around. In order to be free from shame, we must begin to see ourselves as God sees us. Friends, freedom looks good on you today. It's beautiful. Just as the tree of knowledge of good and evil produces shame in our lives, it also makes us susceptible to victimization. It was my wife, it was my husband, it was the serpent. Victimization is a natural response to sin. Eve responded, "The devil made me do it." And Adam responded, "The woman made me do it." How often do we blame others, attempting to displace or avoid the responsibility for our decision? When we place blame, we excuse our internal condition or our difficult outward circumstances by focusing on the actions of others. That's what we do. When we place blame, we excuse our internal condition and our difficult outward circumstances by focusing on the action of someone else. We say things like, "If my husband would just treat me right, I wouldn't be so unhappy and manipulative. If my family were less argumentative, I wouldn't be so irritable. If only I had more money. If everybody would just live like they're supposed to, everything would just work right." That's what we do when we are victimized. The result of victimization is we notice other people's sins, but not our own. We excuse and condemn ourselves, saying, "I've just always been this way. I'll never change. I'll never be good enough. We feel rejected. Whether we victimize ourselves by blaming others or excusing and condemning ourselves, we are powerless to change when we are in the victimized and the victim posture. This is why victimization is so deadly. We often take on a victim mentality with our parents, people from our past, in our marriages, with our work, in our finances, with friends, and even at church. With victimization and shame, we're either the Pharisee or the woman caught in adultery in John 8, the story we read there. We're either saying, you're not good enough, or I'm not good enough, basing our relationship with God and others on behavior and merit. But that's just not the perspective God wants us to have, friend. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thinking, and it keeps us from changing and connecting with God. It's a trap. It is a trap, friend, from the enemy devised to keep us from changing. The devil wants us to be forever stuck in the world of blame and self-condemnation. Wow. We can get to a point, though, where no matter what happens, we take responsibility for our own lives. We can no longer blame anyone else for the quality of our relationship with God. The fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil lacks the power to transform the heart. It can provide facts and information, but it's powerless, friends, to give you life. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Your pursuit of wisdom and knowledge begins with pursuing Jesus, the giver of all gifts, who is and is yet still to come. The light that leads to life, friends. Freedom looks good on you. Will you pray with me? Thanks, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for me to come to God, that I might have life. I receive this extravagant gift of life and of hope and of love. I ask you, Jesus, as my forgiver and my leader, to come into my heart, to refresh me, to renew me, and be the Lord of my entire life in everything, in all my rhythms and patterns. I give you all of me and ask you to help me live my life for your glory. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live the life you died to give me. Holy Spirit, can you correct me and any of my incorrect views of you, Jesus? And that we would have soft eyes to see you, God. Open ears, soft ears to hear you speak. And soft hearts of humility to receive your help from you, God, our loving Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Wow. Freedom looks good on you, friends. Enjoy the day. God bless you.